Welcome to the Fair Parenting Podcast, where we cover people's stories, ideas, and the progress towards fair parenting.
Welcome to the podcast. Today, I want to look at artificial intelligence, or AI as it's called. I love podcasts. Two of my favourites are Exponential Wisdom with Dan Sullivan and Peter Diamandis, and Moonshots with Peter Diamandis. I highly recommend both. They are wonderful. Moonshots is full of fascinating people with forward-thinking developments that they want to change the world. It's really inspiring to hear some of these people. They discuss the idea of a moonshot. Changing family law may be one. And Justin Breen and I discussed this in episode 17 of this podcast. Some episodes of Peter Diamandis' Moonshots have covered AI. AI will have massive impact on the world. And in this episode, I just want to look at how it might change family law. Firstly, is what we have now really AI? And the answer is no. It's currently what most people use, ChatGPT or similar, is not free thinking or intelligent or conscious. It analyzes gigantic amounts of data quickly to produce results that seem intelligent. That in itself is enough to bring benefits, and we've been told that ChatGPT can pass a bar exam already. But technology improves all the time. For example, 25 years ago, most people didn't have email. The iPhone was invented in 2007. Look at the changes in our world since then, and with the products themselves. The iPhone was created 16 years ago. Think of the difference between iPhone 1 and the current iPhone 15. Things move very quickly. ChatGPT in 15 years will be, well, if it can pass a bar exam now, what will it be able to do in 5, 10, 15 years' time? Many people think we're only a few years away from what Ray Kurzweil calls singularity, when true AI will occur, conscious perhaps. But even before then, the progress is going to be breathtaking. Okay, let's have a look at one example, the medical industry. Peter Diamandis says eventually it's going to be malpractice for a doctor to diagnose without consulting AI. I hear others say soon it may be impossible for people to drive themselves without AI, because it would be deemed unsafe to drive and more accident prone to drive without a computer doing the work. And we're obviously not far away from that, with Teslas having the ability to do some self-driving. And medicine moves very quickly. There are over 7,000 medical papers published every day. How on earth can your doctor process those? Also, the half-life of medical knowledge is reducing rapidly. A doctor who qualified in the 1950s could practice for many years without his knowledge getting out of date. Today, a doctor who qualifies age 25 may have out-of-date knowledge by the age of 30. Progress is happening that quickly. And it's happening quickly in other fields too. Many patients at the moment use search engines to get information themselves, which they then take to see their doctor with. There's nothing wrong with that, but an AI assistant that both doctor and patient can access would be neater, possibly better, and maybe more welcome by both parties. The AI could even remove the need for a GP in many circumstances. In England, we have the 111 service, which you can call ahead of going to see a GP, and really AI would probably replace that. It would also be preferable to many who don't like visiting a doctor. Many people don't want to visit a doctor, and many people feel pressurized to get in and out of the doctor's office as quickly as possible. They may go for one thing, but they may have two things they want to talk about, and they just don't feel they have time. An AI consultant would also work out of hours and without the time limits imposed on many. For example, in Britain, the very little time you're allowed with a general practitioner. Also, I read that in medicine, 80% of second opinions differ from the original. So really, a second opinion should be something that we get as a matter of course. Perhaps some assistance from AI is a good idea in this area as an automated second opinion. There was also a study where many people preferred getting medical advice from an AI because the AI consultant had more time and was more friendly than a stressed, pressurized, run-down human doctor. And I think having dealt with lawyers, I think that the same may well apply there. Okay, so what of the legal profession? Maybe similar is going to happen there with solicitors, social workers, and judges compelled to consult AI. If ever there was something that needed modernising, it's the legal profession. It is prehistoric in the way it works. I gave some ideas for reform in episodes 2, 32, and 33, and Mike Bell of the Family Court Reform Coalition covered their own ideas in episode 7. There are loads of simple, low, and no-cost ideas, but changing the system is like walking in treacle. The good thing is the world outside of law is changing fast, and AI may help change things from the outside in, just as it is doing in other fields. For example, lawyers now use email. I bet they were one of the last to adopt that, but the changes from the outside world come in, and although there may be resistance in law, in the end, it happens. It is said ChatGPT can already pass a bar exam. That is promising. AI can do so much to improve the archaic legal system. Here's just a few simple ideas. One, find relevant case law for parents and judges. Two, write some of the letters we currently pay solicitors for. Three, help parents fill out court applications. These three alone would save people thousands of pounds. Many solicitors are selling old rope, doing the same thing with many clients, but charging them each. AI is perfect for disrupting that to bring costs down for many parents. Example 4. AI can search emails, text messages, and other electronic communication for points to raise. Current search tools are slow and clunky, making evidence hard to find. Technology is great for sucking in huge amounts of data and analysing it. Imagine the cost of paying a human to do that. Point 5. AI can improve bundle preparation and transcripts. Please see episode 33 for my suggestions on that. Those are just first steps. Longer term, AI could do much more. Example 6. AI could become another expert in the courtroom to advise judges alongside Kafka, psychologists, social workers, etc. It could be built without bias, vested interests, or incentives to prolong cases and run up costs. Point 7. AI could listen in on hearings like Siri or Alexa currently does in homes. It could intervene in a court hearing with fact-checking info or to answer questions about a bundle or transcript. Point 8. AI could give court experts regular bias assessments. It could check and scrutinize expert reports and judgments for bias or flawed thinking. This alone may fix things. Just the idea that experts were being assessed would keep them on their toes. Currently, we have the opposite. Experts can operate with an agenda or an inept way of working for decades with little of the scrutiny the rest of us have in our jobs. AI could silently and privately analyze things and provide guidance on ineptitude or bias or other errors with experts. Example 9, AI could bring down the cost of lawyers because AI will be that good and we will have access to the same information they do. Example 10, earlier I mentioned there were 7,000 medical papers published daily. Similarly, research on family breakup, trauma, domestic violence, and parenting is published all the time. Lawyers in the courts can't keep up. AI can. It can read, digest, and advise. Example 11. AI can scan parent communication apps and advise. In my case, one High Court judge joked she wasn't going to read the hundreds of pages of parent communications. How did she know they didn't contain important evidence? The answer is the judge didn't know. Even the Kafka officer told me she just skimmed parent communication. That is a serious flaw. Sure, time is limited, but AI can scan, assess, and produce a summary for judges with examples in seconds at near zero cost. Point 12. AI could search old cases, bundles, evidence, transcripts, and judgments, looking for flaws to reverse decisions or highlight flaws to help improve the system. It could look for judges or experts with patterns of flawed assessment. It could keep them accountable in a field without much accountability. It is a job that is not being done currently. The cost of this would be low and can be done quickly. Such is the processing power of AI. Point 13. Court reporting may be limited, but AI can observe and report without affecting anonymity concerns. That said, I would always be in favour of the expansion of human reporting too. Point 14. AI might advise government on how to improve the legal system, so most parents avoid court altogether. There are many improvement ideas coming from people on this already, and AI could lend weight to this and speed change by providing analysis and cost-benefit analysis. It could also track the outcomes of cases and the effects of case outcomes on children over time. That is something that is not done at the moment. Courts have no idea whatsoever that what they decide has a good or a bad outcome. That is simply not good enough. It is unacceptable. I can reel off more ideas, but I want yours. Please email me or DM me on Twitter. You can email me at podcast@fairparenting.co.uk or DM me on Twitter at fairparentinguk. The government is always behind the curve on technology, but it does embrace it eventually. It may also be spurred on by what other countries are doing. We may be coming into what the equivalent of an arms race with AI, and governments may be keen to adopt it. The Ministry of Justice in Britain should have a group inviting ideas from the public on how to change things. AI would be one suggestion, but there are many others. But simply, they should set up some sort of public consultation on how to change family law. Okay, what are the hurdles to AI? Well, like the Luddites in the past, lawyers will resist. In episode 17, Justin Breen discussed lawyers and why they are not the type of people to embrace change. He was a great guest, and I recommend listening to that episode with him. I heard in the 1970s, when ATMs were first introduced by banks, people protested that bank staff would lose jobs. Apparently staff numbers didn't change. They went and did other things. In the 1980s, people protested about the use of drum machines and technology in music. I would argue more people today make their money from music now. Perhaps they're not getting rich. Spotify and other platforms don't pay out much, you know, iTunes, to songwriters and musicians. But technology has enabled more people to get their music heard, for them to make and sell music. And it's removed the barriers to entry. You no longer need a record contract. And you no longer need to have drummers and, you know, a string orchestra. If you've got one, that's great, and many of the top people use them, but you no longer need that if you're just a songwriter. Technology doesn't, in many cases, doesn't reduce the numbers of people working. It shifts them into other tasks. And there are many people that think AI will do the same. We can't know, but looking at these examples of history, that's what's happened in at other times. Okay, sure, lawyers are bright and they will resist AI, but the truth is simply that AI will be far brighter and far quicker and far cheaper than these lawyers. Lawyers aren't in charge at the end of the day. The government can bring in change, and these days it does embrace technology more and more. The time and cost savings of AI may be decisive. In episode 7 with Mike Bell of the Family Court Reform Coalition, we discussed this, and he said that cost reduction is a factor in how government assesses change. That may help introduce AI. The public will be an important factor too. In an age of self-driving cars, AI doctors and AI teachers, it simply won't be credible for lawyers to resist it. Other industries have been disrupted. For example, music, travel, retail, etc. It's time one of the most old-fashioned industries was disrupted too, for the benefit of parents and children. Okay, so what can we draw from all this? Firstly, this episode and most episodes by other people on AI or technology are unlikely to age well. The way things are going, progress is rapid, vast and unpredictable. My ideas are very possible, but are likely to be dwarfed by the actual capabilities of AI and what that they turn out to be. The question posed by this podcast episode was, can artificial intelligence fix family law? I think the answer is definitely yes. The capabilities I've discussed are not pie in the sky. They are already here or close. We're at the dawn of a new age. Resistant lawyers would be like cowboys in the Wild West seeing the first cars roll into town. Change is coming. AI can level the playing field for those who can't afford lawyers. It can help courts by fact-checking and advising on case law and offering impartial and data-driven advice. It can test experts for competency and keep the system fair and up to date. Some will argue we can't trust AI, but AI is coming to medicine, surgery, driving, education, etc. Sure, AI can get things wrong, but as we know in the family courts, people can get things wrong, and the court process is deeply flawed. Some people can be consistently wrong, inept, or play out an unsavoury agenda in the courts for decades with little scrutiny. It's hard to imagine a worse system than we have now. AI can root this out. Many would even say that we can't trust the current system and that a coin flip is better than what we have now. The current system is not improving, it cannot police itself, and it can't improve itself. AI can help. AI is not the only option. Other sources of ideas and change will help. For example, I gave some in episodes 2, 32 and 33. There are many other ideas from people. The effect of all these ideas, AI and others, I think will deliver the change we need. We simply cannot leave it to the legal profession to change itself, as it's not known for change and it is incentivized against change. A tsunami of change is coming to the world and family law simply will not escape it. Hopefully the next decade will revolutionize the most stuffy, closed, broken and archaic of industries. AI could be one of the greatest tools for modernizing and improving family law. Okay, that's all for now. Take care and see you next time.
Thanks for listening to this episode. Please join us next time.